I'm Kevin Casey. I'm a professional mixed martial arts fighter. And right now, what I'm about to do is issue a warning out to all other competitors.
I don't want overs. I just expect them to happen.
Fatty's gonna fatty is real.
Yeah, give me fucking truth, baby. Come on. Let's go.
How have I been successful in life?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Well, half of us. Sean, I feel like it might be maybe revise the intro time. Cause
I know.
Breaking news. Wes has contracted the devastating MMA analysis AIDS. The anal cysts, even.
He talked all that shit when Lance was always sick back when his little ones were catching everything, and now it's been coming back to bite him. I'm sure I'm gonna be there in, you know, a year and a bit, and so we'll just I won't talk too much shit because I'm sure it'll come for me just like it comes for almost everyone.
I'll talk the shit.
There you go. Smart.
Pathetic. we wish Wes all the best in this harrowing experience of his life, and he'll be back eventually. Lance, probably not. I don't even know if he's still alive. Won a golf bet. Congrats, Lance.
He did.
Little golf bet.
Of course, I didn't tail it because it wasn't a real golf tournament. It was some bullshit pairs, and so of course he wins that one. So do we even count it?
What can you do? Lots of stuff going on in the sports worlds. Apparently, it included a UFC card last week. I saw a tiny little bit of hilariousness, but mostly missed all of it and have been focusing on more entertaining things. But this week, like, not the best card. As we were saying before the show, not the worst UFC Brazil pay-per-view card. They've got some bad ones back in the day, but it should be fun. It's going to be a good atmosphere at least, and that always makes a card a little bit better. A lot bit better, actually.
A lot better, especially in Brazil. They'll wish a death upon non-Brazilians, and it will be enjoyable, and it will make fights a lot better than what they would be if they were in a hollow warehouse where nobody knows what actually happened.
Indeed. But first, we're going to very quickly run down the card from last week. I saw like a couple rounds of fighting in this one. Other stuff more interesting. But the main event turned out to be pretty interesting. Alex Perez, as it turns out, good at MMA when he actually gets in the cage. Mateus Nicolau, as we've said, that's now 4-for-4. When he loses, he gets knocked out. He's Ginny. And that flyweight, guys are good enough that they're going to hit you. And it's not great.
You can't have a suspect chin at flyweight because you do get hit. Guys are so quick that you get hit, and for the most part, there's not very many massive punchers at that weight, and he showed up. I was lucky. I kind of dodged a bullet. I didn't end up taking Nicolau. I just had a couple parlays with doesn't go to decision, which was probably the better play there. Props to anybody that took Alex Perez. I didn't see it myself, like we talked about last week. He never fights, and some of it's his fault, some of it's who he's fighting, but overall, he just never fights, so it's hard to get a read on him. Looked pretty good, and he's getting back in there again, so now that he's quasi-healthy, I guess he really wants to fight a lot so he can make up for all those lost wages from the fights he didn't get paid for. It was a good win, good knockout, and Nicolau's on he's on the sketchy list of people that if you can't take him down, you can chin check him.
yeah, maybe he can fight the Egg Dude after the Egg Dude loses to Pantoja this week. Seems like it would be like, you know, about fair, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, the rest of the card, I imagine that this was hilarious. I haven't seen it myself, but Uzbek Anthony Smith wins second round TKO, specifically 3 minutes and 16 seconds into the second round. Some fatty action here. As I said, I didn't see.
I definitely left some money on the table. We had talked about it. You know, we were talking about take, you know, over 1.5 or fight starts round 2 just for, you know, contrarian in this fight. But, you know, generally we thought somebody was going to get smoked, and these guys were shitty enough that it lasted. It's, man, Ryan Spann is just not good. You can't be losing to a guy like Guskov, who is not good himself. Light heavyweight. Am I right?
It's almost as good as women's flyweight or heavyweight, which were the next two fights. Karine Silva, unanimous decision over Ariane Lipsky. I think this was in the background at one point. She just like got a bunch of takedowns and didn't do much with them, right? That's kind of what happened.
Pretty much. I guess we'll just roll. Yes, keep going. Let's roll through a bunch of these.
I think I got home just as round 2 of the Lane Disease fight starting, or round 2 of the round starting. And I was like, oh, baby, here comes the fatty's going to fatty. And it was good for about 40 seconds, and then Disease hit him, and yeah. Austin Lane didn't like that. Last couple fights on the main card, unanimous decision for David Onama over JSP. And my sole bet of the evening on Tim Means goes down like a dirty bird for our British listeners. Means like a lady that's dirty to all the rest of you.
Yeah. Not much. Wes was smart. He took fight starts round 2. He probably sprinkled on over 1.5. That's a tough loss. You know, you're looking at like 18 seconds away from a monster over 1.5 hitting. But yeah, JSP, not like you said, not as good as that win streak kind of showed. Onama, not as bad as we thought, and didn't gas as bad. Probably because he didn't have to cut all of the weight.
Well, speaking of which, we didn't talk about this because I don't think they were out at the time that we recorded last week, but the new weight cutting props.
What book somebody, is that?
That was DraftKings. If somebody special. Knew that David Onama was going to miss weight, then you could just like set up a round robin where he's with every other fighter to miss weight on the card. And it would be a massive, like, I think I said it was 168 or 196 to 1 for him and whoever the other goof that missed weight was.
Yep.
Abused because it doesn't need to be big wagers to make a lot of money.
Nope. We'll see how long those last. get them while you can. That's all I'll say. And then yes, sad Tim Means go out like that. Medich has power and he got him. I feel like I've lost a lot of money betting for and against Yuroš Medich, and that sucks.
That feels right though.
Yeah.
I feel like I've done the same. The rest of the cards, Victor Henry, third round TKO over Haniyaya. Could have seen Haniyaya gassing in round 3 and getting standing TKO'd coming. Austin Hubbard, decision over Michal Figlak. Dontale Mays in the most obviously fatty's gonna go to decision ever, even though we did talk about the under just to be contrarian in that one. Sometimes they're wrong. Unanimous decision over Caio Machado. Ketlin Souza, not Ketlin Vieira, unanimous decision over the sawed-off Savage, whose contract is going to get sawed off after this one. Chris Padilla, on short notice, good for him. First round big submission upset over James Yantop. And there was one more, wasn't there? Two more. Ivana Petrovic, third round arm triangle over Na Liang, who Jeff really, really does not like. The Machete takes a split decision over Gabriel Benitez, which I heard was pretty 50-50. I'm kind of glad I didn't bet Benitez because it would have lost, even though it was probably a good bet.
I did, and it lost.
I was explaining, sorry, Jeff, sorry. I was explaining the nature of the fatty gonna fatty bet, which is it's not there just to make money. It's there to be like the entertainment hedge. But then when you start looking at the fights a different way and start cheering for the fatty gonna fatty, becomes its own form of entertainment. It's an art, brother. It's an art.
Also, when fatty's gonna fatty is like minus 200, is it really fatty's gonna fatty?
Yeah. It's the book saying like fatty's gonna fatty.
Yeah.
Not us.
They're in on it. We talked about Victor Henry round three. It was not priced very well. I think we were both kind of hoping for at least a plus 1,000. I didn't look at what it was for at Bet365. Their props are usually a little bit nicer than Bet Online. Wes was able to grab that on a nice little local, and props to him. I don't have much. Na Liang is bad. Just gave up. It's over. And he's going home. Benitez, good bet at plus 180, plus 200, but it don't matter because it didn't cash.
I'm trying to look at the old archive to see what there is a Henry 850 out there, started at 900. I thought I heard somebody say that the FanDuel price got up to 1,000 somewhere, but
I think so too. Well. Yeah.
Past is the past, and we are moving on to this weekend's card, UFC 301 down in Rio de Janeiro, the Genesis Arena. We get to hear Bruce Buffer announce all of the like Brazilian provinces and cities before he gets the fighter, which is kind of fun because he butchers most of them. It's a good time to be had. We're going to kick it off. Obviously, the headliner of the card is the flyweight title, but the actual headliner of the card is Aldo coming out of retirement to beat up some schmuck who's in the top 50, because that's a very Jose Aldo thing to do. But we're going to start it off in the flyweight division. Alessandro Costa taking on Kevin Borges. Is his nickname, like, it's got to be something that rhymes. It's got to be like definitely not Kevin Borges, right?
You would think so, but he's from Peru, so no.
Huh. It always throws me off. Do you remember there was that really tall Brazilian dude that was supposed to be a good striker, and his name was just like Kyle. It was just like some super white name for this Brazilian dude. I'll look it up while you're talking, but he's fought on a couple of the Brazil cards.
Hmm. I don't have much here. Both these guys lost to guys that are pretty good in the UFC. Costa has a win against Jimmy Flick, which doesn't mean anything really. I'll pick Costa. I think he's just a better guy. I don't really care too much. At this weight class, a lot of these fights can be very, very close. Borges has a shit ton of finishes. Didn't get a finish on the Contender Series. Lost by decision against Josh Van. He might be one of those guys that just waxed shitty low-level fighters in the Brazilian regional scene. So I think it's probably going to be Costa kind of taking him into deeper waters and beating him.
It was Kevin Souza.
Kevin Souza.
I guess there's a lot more like South American Kevins than I thought.
Yeah.
But his actual name was like something super Brazilian.
Oh, it was. Yes.
Edmilson Souza. Yeah. But his nickname was Kevin.
Yeah.
It's like
greatest nickname ever.
He was actually pretty awesome. He like did well in the UFC and then lost one fight and got cut for whatever reason.
And then did he just give up? Or did he lose on regionals?
No, he didn't fight was it Patricio or Patricky? He fought one of the pit bulls in Bellator.
Oh, Patricky. Yeah. Patricky.
Yeah, there you go. So he fought for a while after the UFC. But anyway, that guy was good. I am rambling because I don't really have anything on this fight either. I mean, obviously, out of the running for Toutmaster, unless I pull off the Chris Bailey special and miss a card, but still end up in the top 10, which would take a miracle at this point. So I'm going to start leaning in pretty heavy to the old dogs. But man, this one's so close. Does it really matter? I just kind of like the way Costa fights, so I'm going to pick Costa here. Lightweight division, Ishmael Bonfim, who we looked it up before the show, confirmed he is the bad Bonfim, and he's taking on Vink the Pickle Walker.
Yeah, it's a bit of a wide line. I know the Bonfims have had some hype. They've kind of, you know, ran into some tougher competition and lost, but the Pickle is 41 years old. He's a bit weathered. Losing to Marco Madden in 2022 is not a very good look. He obviously
especially
has been
when
out.
That was 1-1 going into round three, and he lost to Mark Madsen, who like always gasses.
Yeah, he is absolutely spent by round three. So yeah, like I get it. Bonfim, younger, better, not on a year and a half layoff. Pickle is tough. My angle in this fight is going to be the over 2.5. It's like even money at a bunch of places. I haven't bet it yet, but that's my look. I think Bonfim is going to win. He's going to be the better guy, but I don't think he can get the Pickle fucker out of there.
Yeah, similar thoughts here. Obviously, I saw the line, and I wanted to find a way that I could bet the Vink Pickle in this one, but I mean, the layoff, the age, the what we just talked about, gassing and losing in the latter stages of a fight against Mark Madsen, those things don't really bode well for him here. But this is the bad Bonfim. He's not a great finisher. He's not going to come out there and just like style on dudes like his brother will. He'll grind out a decision, and I think that is exactly what he'll do between it being in Brazil, so the crowd reacting to everything he does, and Pickle just being old at this point. So I'm going to take the over 2.5. The decision prop for Bonfim isn't really high enough that I'd rather take that and risk something weird happening and Pickle winning a decision. But yeah, we're going to be looking at the over 2.5 here. And man, I might have to do it in Toutmaster, Sean. Just make up the ground. We'll see.
I'll do it.
Women's flyweight division, Dionne Warwick Barbosa taking on Ernest. Is that you? Did they let that guy out of prison? Ernest goes to prison. Ernest goes to the octagon. Is that what this is?
Didn't Ernest go to heaven or hell?
Probably. I would imagine hell.
I got nothing on the site. We'll pick the dog and Toutmaster.
Who played Ernest? I'm going to have to look this up. Who is the dog, by the way?
That'd be Ernest.
Ernest. Well, this is literally the first time I've seen both of these names, folks. Not gonna lie to you. Don't care.
Oh, probably Ernest not gonna watch. Died in 2000.
Wow. It's a long time.
That's a maybe long that's, time ago.
You know, some people die so long ago, but they also faded out of the spotlight, so you don't really think about them. So you're like, Ernest must just be alive, chilling, you know, wherever. Did he even have time to do the crimes? Or is Ernest clean? Are we good with Ernest?
That was, we'll see. That was pre-9/11. Nobody knows.
Jim Varney. Good show, Jeff. Yeah, nothing on this one. Sure, we'll take the Eastern European chick because she's probably on. She might not be on the better steroids. We're in the home of the yams, Sean. Home of the yams. Speaking of which, Mauricio Ruffy. Is it Huffy or Ruffy? Looks like he might have dipped into some yams at some point in his career. All of his fights have ended by TKO, and he is not undefeated. Has been knocked out. He's facing Jamie Malarkey. How is this dude from Australia? Like, he was born to be from Boston.
Anyway, you would think so. Not too much. I've backed Malarkey in a bunch of his fights, either him or over 2.5, and he's let me down. That chin is a liability at this point. Was obviously winning that Nemov fight and then just gets knocked the fuck out. And then somehow, some way, he was able to get back-brassed a TKO. Wild. Wild shit. Ruffy is going to be all in on the Mountain Yams, and he is going to dispose of Jamie Malarkey. Not sure how you want to play it. Ruffy inside's like -160, almost his money line price. So I'm just staying away. I'll pick the Ruffy to crush him.
This is kind of interesting. You know, you look on some of these newer Brazilian guys' records, you get the little blast from the past, like Hannes Torres. Somehow Ruffy fought him last year. That dude was in the UFC forever ago and now has a record of 43-10. So he hasn't really like fallen off or anything, but that's kind of interesting name to see on somebody's record in 2023.
Yeah.
Malarkey gets hit way too much. Starting to not wear those shots as well. But I'll be damned if this doesn't feel like the classic contender series fade spot.
Yep.
Like, this guy's coming off the, in this case, it was the third round. So just kind of like, dude got tired and fell over and he got the finish at the end of the fight. For all of Malarkey's faults, he's not going to do that. He's going to keep coming at you unless you put him out, which dude could very well do. But if anything, I'm leaning towards Malarkey. If this gets up to like 2-1, I'm going to take a shot just because that's ridiculous. So, yeah, I'm looking more at the Malarkey side here. Love it. Love the Malarkey. Lightweight division again. Joaquim Silva. Drakkar Klose. Do you think he's the best smelling man in MMA?
I would hope so with a name like that. That's you're just kind of a letdown if you have that name and then you just smell, you know? I've seen some people back in Joaquim Silva. I know people like to fade Drakkar Klose, but the dude wins. It's not always pretty, but he wins. He's not fighting amazing fighters. I understand that. But he's also not going to 3-round decisions and losing a round to Clay Guida in 2023, which happened in that Joaquim Silva fight. I'll pick Klose. I'm trying not to bet him because laying that kind of juice on a guy that, you know, is not amazing and Drakkar Klose is sketchy, but I guess I'm just not seeing what people are liking in Joaquim Silva.
Yeah, close feels like he is always going to be a sketchier play out there than he ends up being. I think it's probably a lot of holdover from the whole Stevens Whiplash debacle, and people have kind of held on to that. But this dude's good. Even he's got two losses, and even in the loss to Benny, that was a nutso fight.
Life or death.
Yeah, that could have gone either way. So, yeah, I think Sean's probably pretty accurate here that it's closest fight. And again, even though I've seen it a million times now, I still don't feel great about betting him as a favorite. So probably stay away from this one. I think that close wins a decision, though. Don't think it's going to be all that fun. There's going to be some booing and some Uva, I'm a ruin in here. All the fun stuff that the Brazilians do. Next up, featherweight division. Jean Silva taking on William Takanori Gomi-san.
This one should be fun. I think Jean Silva will make it a fun fight. It's hard to take too much away from him just murdering Weston Wilson, who should not 100% should not be in the UFC. Should never have been in the UFC. People warned everyone that he should not be in the UFC, and that obviously came to fruition. So it's hard for me to get a good read on him just crushing absolute terrible competition. Went to war on the Contender Series. I think I'll pick Jean Silva. It's in Brazil. That does help these fighters. He is violent. I think he probably gets it done, but don't really want to bet him.
What do we got for totals in this one? Yeah.
We got like 2.5 minus 165.
Interesting. So the under here, even like the ends inside, is plus money. And Silva is like pretty much KO and early KO at that or bust. Yeah. I'm interested in what happens if this goes a couple rounds, because his early losses in his career, I haven't watched them, can't speak to them all that much, but they're both by decision to guys who weren't very good. Is his cardio good now? Because we know that the little Takanori there can grind some stuff out, usually against bad fighters. But is Silva going to turn into a bad fighter after one round? I understand why this one is priced why it is, and I am going to stay away.
Maybe look for the live bet if you're going to be watching live. Silva comes out hot. If Gomez,
that's a good one.
I know not you, but maybe somebody who's listening to this might be. Gomez can survive. Might be worth a shot. He'll probably get a lot nicer number than what he is pre-fight.
Hopefully he gets cracked a couple times. Good for you in round one. And we go from there. Next up, Elvis Brenner. Last week we had the medic. This week, the dentist is back. Minty Betts, oral boy. Sean, what do you got?
Oral B. Oral B, he was a guy that when I bet Uros Medic, he beat him. He seems
beat the shit out of him.
He beat the shit out of him. Just absolutely grappled the living shit out of him. Is he going to do that against Elvis Brenner? Probably. Brenner, I think, has fought the tougher competition. I don't know. I don't think he bet or he won maybe a couple of those. But judges liked him. He is the Brazilian. I think Oral B is able to grapple the shit out of him and choke him, so he doesn't have to worry about some sketchy decision that Brenner somehow wins on the scorecards.
Yeah, I was impressed by the old Oral B in his UFC debut. Interesting to see if he leans quite as heavily into the grappling here, because Brenner does scramble well. He's got a good guard. Trains the Bronx. I mean, come on. What are we doing here? I think this is a pretty damn big test, but I think from what I saw in his UFC debut, he's a good enough grappler that he's going to be able to avoid those subs. Brenner really hasn't had a lot of grappling success in the UFC anyway. It's been more like just turning stuff into dogfights and, you know, keep coming at guys later in fights and that sort of stuff and wearing them down. So I think the Oral-B gets this down enough and takes a decision, but yeah, not looking to bet it. And Brazil. So I know that the UFC brings their own judges from Vegas or whatever, and it's the same guys, but it's the atmosphere that really influences the judging more than anything. When Brenner does anything here, it's going to get a reaction. And when Oral-B lays on top of him, I don't think the fans are going to be too appreciative of that. So we'll see what happens. Women's strawweight division next. Yasmin Lucindo. Yasmin feels like it should be like Austrian. You should get Arnold to announce her. Sound great. Taking on, and he could do a good Carolina as well. That'd be fun. But yeah, Carolina Kovalevich is still fighting. I thought she retired like a decade ago.
Not only is she fighting, she's on a 4-fight win streak. That is strawweight in 2024.
Sure is.
My goodness. Jeff, you are right. Oral-B is cutting down to 155. So he might even look better.
He's talking about old Huffy.
He's talking. I think he was also talking about Oral-B fought Medic at 170, and now he's fighting at 155. So,
sorry, I was reading the previous comment.
Oh, no worries. Yeah. Lucindo should win this fight. It's pretty brutal. -450. She probably takes down Kovalevich and probably finish her. It's just -450 on a lower level strawweight fight is a tough pill to swallow. I don't know what the props are, if they're even nice. I mean, over 2.5 is -205. So, but then Lucindo, that's good. Fight ends inside the distance +140. Lucindo wins inside the distance +135. Love when those props do that. I'll pick Lucindo. It's goes against everything we talk about when there's just huge favorites, but I think she gets it done.
Easiest fight on the card to pick. Carolina Kovalevich. Definitely Toastmaster pick. Maybe a little bet. We'll see. We'll see what we do here. But there's nothing that Yasmin has shown that warrants her being -450. I mean, you fought Pollyanna Viana, who stinks. She was the one that dated like Colby Covington for a while too, wasn't she? Yeah. So she obviously makes bad decisions. And Joe Brogan was her other fight. Yeah. Like, this always happens. Like, maybe she is the female prospect that's finally going to break through. But this always happens where you get a couple shitty wins and then somebody's -400 against a veteran who knows how to win some fights. So and she's not even that old. She's 38. 38 women are just coming into their prime. Ooh. Carolina Kovalevich taking a decision in this one for me. Next up, we are in the featherweight division. Once again, excellent fight here. Joe Anderson Brito, Jack Shore. I don't have anything bad to say about it. It's incredible. Sean.
Great fight. I'm a bit surprised by the line. Brito's been smashing guys, and you know, they're not amazing fighters, some of them, but he's doing what he's supposed to do. I think Jack Shore is going to be the better grappler in this fight, and he's going to have the better gas tank. If Brito gets him early, so be it. But I don't think if Jack Shore can survive the first round, I think he's going to take over in this fight. And I don't know what Brito's going to look like after being out grappled for the second round, possibly parts of the first round, and going into the third round. So I'm betting Jack Shore. He's like plus 145 at some places right now. He could get smashed. Brito does come out hot, and he does have good offense. I'm just curious to see if he doesn't get him, what happens next.
You know what? I thought the same thing in, was it Brito's last fight as well? Or a couple fights ago against, no, it was the last fight against JSP where I was like, oh man, he's just going to get paced. And if he doesn't get it early, he's going to get it late. And it looked like that was kind of what was going to happen, and snatch that ninja choke. That was a good one. But mostly, I do agree with you that Brito has to get a quick finish. He has to get something dynamic here, or else he's going to get grinded on. Jack Shore is like if Jonathan Pierce was smaller but good. So that's going to be helpful. He's also not as chinny as JSP, which could matter here because Brito cracks. So I'm kind of liking your call for Jack Shore here. He's also one of those guys that has a lot of late wins just because the way he grinds on guys. I don't know if this is a case where Brito is good enough that he'll survive the grinding, or he's going to gas and Jack Shore is going to do what he always does and seem to put a guy away in the third round. So I'll keep an eye on the Shore round three prices. I do like the Shore plus 145 look as well. Not super confident in it, but I think this guy is still a very good fighter. So I also think that Joe Anderson Brito is a good fighter. I just think this matchup is kind of what I thought the JSP matchup was going to be. But we shall see. Moving it on to the main card now. And I mean, if you want to get the people to buy a pay-per-view, you start it off with Bear Jew. This man is the curtain jerker to jerk all curtains. And he's taking on the nerd guy. You know, Borallo.
Yeah. Borallo better not be a pussy and try to strike in this fight. We're in Brazil. He better, you know, let's go jiu-jitsu versus jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu. Let's see what he's made of. Is he going to get caught in the bear trap? I hope so. I hope he grapples. I would love to see if Bear Jew can catch him. He didn't grapple much last time out against a bus. Turns out that guy's not good at all. Even though he headlined against Sean Strickland. Wow. Bear Jew by sub is like
so. Ugh. Like not a bus. He's probably boring too. But
yes, this guy is painful to watch. It is weird that he is fighting the first fight on the main card. Usually they put more of an action fight. Hopefully they
already bought it by this point.
Yeah. Bear Jew subs like plus 900 at some places. Against a guy that might grapple him, that's not a terrible price. If he keeps it on the feet, then he probably picks him apart, and it's probably a very, very boring fight. I'm always looking to throw a dart, at least one, on a card, and if 365 comes out and I can get four digits on Bear Jew by sub, I'm probably in for a couple bucks.
I know we joke about Bear Jew striking and like Brennan Allen didn't really give him a ton of striking time in that last fight. But I think it has looked a little bit better. I don't think that Caio Baralho is some incredible striker that if this stays on the feet, he's just going to blow out the Bear Jew. But there should be grappling here. I think that Baralho can probably get takedowns whenever he wants. And I want him to get takedowns whenever he wants because I want to see grappling and see what he does against somebody that can actually throw something back his way. I don't think that this is going to be he gets to Bear Jew's back and hangs out there for the rest of the round because Bear Jew's just not going to stay in that position for an entire round. He is going to initiate scrambles and we're going to see, you know, there's going to be openings for Baralho, but his whole thing is that he's boring and he doesn't do anything. So he's not going to take advantage of them and the Bear Jew's going to find something. So plus 900 on Bear Jew sub is like, that's a must. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the matchup is. People will learn eventually. You know what? I think that Bear Jew might be the crowd favorite when it comes to this fight. We'll see. We'll see. People love the Bear Jew. He travels well. Staying in the middleweight division, Michel Pereira taking on Ihor Poteria. You know, in another universe, these men would be brothers. You know, soldiers in arms. But they're fighting each other in Brazil on Saturday. It could be weird.
I know Pereira was supposed to fight Muradov. Felt like they could have found somebody a little bit better on a month's notice, but I guess not. Pereira's looked unbelievable at middleweight. I don't expect that to stop against Poteria. I just don't really see an angle to bet in this fight. He's just a massive favorite. Him inside is still juiced up. I will just probably sit back and enjoy some violence.
Yep. Pretty much what you said. This is a thrown together fight. Maybe we get some weird stuff out of Pereira. That's the best thing that we can hope for.
Doing less and less of that recently.
Maybe like back in front of the Brazilian crowd.
There we go. Yeah.
You know, he's spurred on and does a backflip or something like that. But other than that, I don't find this to be a particularly interesting fight. Maybe the under 1.5 or whatever Pereira's early props are. Round one's only plus 120. That's, yeah, no. Maybe the under 1.5 here. I think he probably gets it done quick. Usually good fighters blow Pateria out. And, yeah, that's about it, unfortunately. Keeping it hot for... I know I said main card a couple fights ago. Just to confirm, this is still the main card. Bringing the heat so far. Now we got the light heavyweights. Anthony Smith. Vitor Petrino. Vitor Petrino definitely has been to the old Mountain Yam fields.
District.
You call it a potato field? Maybe. Potato patch?
Yeah. Hillside?
Oh.
Something. Yeah.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. It's Petrino's gonna win this fight. I'm interested to see if he can just blow out Anthony Smith. I don't think so. Petrino for the most part is a grappler. Anthony Smith, he has good defensive grappling. Like he might be losing, he might be on the bottom, but he doesn't usually just get smashed out, and he's a very hard guy to sub. It's Petrino is good. I don't know if he's minus 600 against Anthony Smith good. Smith did just take an absolute ass whooping against old Khalil Roundtree. And he is obviously has, you know, 50, what does he have? 56 fights.
Yep.
So that body is in rough shape. That being said, I like to lose money. So I am probably going to take a look at fight goes to decision at plus 600. Petrino couldn't finish the pleasure man. He did not finish Tyson Prey last time out. Let's hope he takes it easy on old Anthony Smith.
Yeah, that's a real high number. Like, and it's not like he's finished good fighters before. He finished a bunch of guys on the regional scene, as all Brazilians do. The Gadzi Murad, he finished him in round two, which I could do if I could make it to round two against that dude. He has not beaten good fighters. Never mind finished good fighters. Ooh. I'm not even convinced that he wins this fight. Like, I know Smith's old. He's been in wars. Again, another guy who knows how to win fights. He did lose that fight to Johnny Walker, though, and that was that wasn't a great look. And then, you know what? No, I've talked myself out of possibly betting Smith. I think we're just going to be looking at the over or goes the distance here. Goes the distance is 200 and Petrino decision is 240. So again, another case where probably just safer to take the goes decision. Sean, I think I'm just copying you. Sorry. It is what it is, but it makes sense in my brain. And that's going to bring us to the co-main event. Jonathan Martinez taking on Jose Aldo. Was Martinez supposed to fight somebody else, or was there originally supposed to be? Oh, it was supposed to be Cruz for
yes.
Aldo. Rumored.
Yes. Right? That was the rumor. It's not really a rumor. It's come out and said it. Aldo was, their plan was to fight Cruz, which would have been an awesome fight against, you know, two veterans. Yep. But Cruz's, big shocker, Cruz's body is not holding up. this is interesting. It's tough. Like, Aldo's done everything he could in the fight game, really. I honestly think he gave Dvalishvili his best fight. You know, best recent fight. I know Dvalishvili was in that weird fight that kind of lost, but this is just a good matchup. If Aldo is motivated, I know, fucking, he's old. Is he motivated? I don't think this is a BJ Penn thing. Aldo, he has one fight left on his contract. I don't know what he's going to do after that. But it being in Brazil, I think he's going to be motivated. And this is a good matchup for him. Martinez is a leg kicker. And what does Jose Aldo do? Better than 99% of fighters in the UFC, in the world? He checks legs kicks. What is Martinez going to do when he gets those leg kicks checked 1, 2, 3 times? He ain't going to want to kick anymore. And it could be worse than that. Let's get some tib-fib breakage. That would be quite enjoyable. Aldo's just got to throw. He's got to throw his hands. He's got to come forward, check kicks. I think he can win this fight. I've backed Martinez a bunch, won some money on him, but I am very curious to see what kind of offense he has if Aldo shuts down those leg kicks, because he hasn't really had to show much other than those leg kicks. And Aldo is one of the best boxers to ever fight in the UFC. So I'm on Aldo. I got 2 units on him at plus 132.
Love it. Yeah, as you said, like, what's plan B for Martinez here? Because even as the significantly younger fighter in this fight, I don't think he's going to be like the faster puncher in there. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of success that he has trying to land those leg kicks, as we said. And that's what his entire game is based on. You know, we've seen him get taken down and get back up in a few fights, but that's not going to be the issue here. It's going to be, can you win striking exchanges against overall a much more talented striker? And we're not talking about, like, Aldo is coming out of retirement, but he's had a bunch of, like, boxing matches over the past year. He's fought more recently than, like, Vink Pickle, probably. Yep. I don't know the exact dates on that. He's probably fought more recently than half the guys on this card, like, in the UFC. I'm talking about, not even counting the boxing stuff. So, yeah, he's... He obviously wants to either A, keep doing this, or B, have one more fight so he can get out of his UFC contract and go perhaps make a big payday or two. I just don't get it. Like, if you told me at any point that anyone other than maybe Peter Yan was going to stand up and strike with Aldo, I guess O'Malley at this point would be tough for him as well, but if you told me anybody other than that was going to stand and strike with him, I'm going to pick Jose Aldo. Like, it's just the way she goes. So Aldo, he's still plus 132 at Bet Online. I see some other numbers out there at other spots, but I think we're going to make the old man the consensus bet of the week at plus 132. I suppose we're going to be using. Yeah, so let's go do that. Let's get back on track here with the consensi. And we'll move it on to the main event. Alessandro Pantoja taking on, I cannot believe that, like, 3 fights ago when I was like, look at this egg dude. And now the egg dude's fighting for the UFC title. But Steve the Egg Dude, he's here. He's arrived.
Like you said, the Egg Dude has fought 3 times in the UFC. 2 of those on prelims. The main card fight he was on was in the warehouse. And now he is main eventing a pay-per-view.
Yep.
Yikes. I don't know if I've bet against him. Maybe in the Dvorak fight, but... seems like he has good offense. I do have some concerns about the damage that Pantoja's been taking and just kind of how much has accumulated through his career. He's had a rough patch of tough fights. But the dude is fucking good, and he can straight up win rounds when he takes your back, because he is that good, and he is that good of jiu-jitsu, which is kind of crazy to see, because it seems like at flyweight, it is very hard to hold position, because these guys are so small and so fast, and guys are just able to get out of things, even if they get taken down, and somehow he's able to control guys pretty well. My angle in this fight, I think I'm going to do doesn't go as a decision in a parlay. I'm going to leave Pantoja. I hope he gets it done. Awesome dude, awesome fighter. If he gets him early, I think Pantoja can kind of get him at any point in the fight. He can get him super early, he can get him super late. I think the Egg Dude probably has to get Pantoja early, because if Pantoja starts getting takedowns and control, he's probably just gonna get worn out and end up getting his neck snatched. So yeah, I haven't bet it yet. Probably going to put it in a parlay. And I will take Pantoja to get a mid-round sub.
Interesting. Yeah, I know that people coming off of the Schnell fight are now being like, oh man, the egg dude can really crack. Like, can he or did he just fight Matt Schnell? And I think it's a whole lot more of the latter there. So he's going to land shot. As we just said earlier, when you're a flyweight, the main event last week, people are going to land shots on you. And Pantoja's defense is not his strong suit. Never has been, never will be. But if you look at the Egg Dude's fight with Costa, like Pantoja is like Costa with intelligence and skill and more cardio. And Egg Dude struggled in that fight. It was one of the most boring third rounds ever, where he just had to like hold on and hold Costa against the cage to get the decision. And Costa let him. That's not going to happen in this fight. I mean, the quantum leap from the guys that he's been fighting to Pantoja is, I spoiled it already. It's quantum. I already said that. I gave it away. He's good. He's going to stick around. He's going to be probably a top 10 flyweight for quite a while. But I feel like this is two different tiers of fighter. Maybe he proves me wrong. I suspect he will not. I'm going to have to find something to parlay Pantoja with, because I really like Pantoja in this spot. So he's going to be my pick. Steve Urkel will not win by KO. Maybe he can go to heaven and KO Ernest in heaven. That's about his only shot. A little 90s TV feud for you. I don't know. I assume those dudes like each other. Anyway, that's about it for the card this week. I saw scrolling across my screen as we were recording this that Ryan Garcia opted for something in the least, like that whole fight and everything, absolutely hilarious. And now,
man, they're putting Austrian and cocaine now? That's wild.
That's fun. Sean, anything else you want to talk about?
No, not really.
Anything like that?
It's a good time of year. Playoffs. Basketball playoffs are actually decent. A lot better than usually in round one. And there's some pretty elite round two matchups coming up. And hockey playoffs are always unbelievable. It's been actually kind of a letdown in the first round. Not many series going too long, which is very weird. But big game tonight for the Oilers, and hopefully we can not have to go back to LA and wait for Vancouver or Nashville. That's about it. And tune in next week for UFC on ESPN. That's right. Big ESPN. Eric Lewis versus Rodrigo Nascimento.
Oh, man. We're back to that. Is that
that is not even at the Apex. That is in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. You can find me in St. Louis. You know?
Classic.
You know what? Shitty cards in front of people are better than shitty cards in a warehouse. So 100%. That'll do it for us. You might see me as a very sad boy next week because we're into the NLL semifinals. Rock Bandits. Big shit. We'll see you next week.